Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Nate Young delivers this week's message.
I'd like to invite you at this time to go ahead and open your Bibles up to the book of Psalm. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks in the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at Psalms chapter 1, 2, and 3 over the next 3 weeks. As we look at these particular psalms, one of my goals is to hopefully provide for you some wisdom from the scriptures in preparation for the new year. And in fact, in today's particular sermon, I want to encourage you to think through and to even potentially plan for next year on how to live a blessed life in 2022. See, there is a lot of noise in the world around us. Maybe even in our own minds, it seems to be very noisy and clouded. And these last 2 years have been some of the most confusing, troubling, difficult years in my recent memory. But if someone were to ask you, "Are you blessed?" you might be quick to answer, "Well, of course." We know as Christians, the right answer is to say, "Well, yes, of course, Pastor, I am blessed." But if someone followed up that question with, "How do you know that you're blessed?" how would you answer that? You might be tempted to answer with some good things: food, water, shelter. If we're honest, we've all looked in the mirror recently and know that we've not missed any meals, especially yesterday. Amen? Maybe we would even say we're blessed because of our family or our job or relationships that we've been afforded. These are all good things, but do we cease to be blessed if we no longer have these things? See, in the last 2 years, the reality of how quickly things like jobs and financial provision can come and go have become a reality to us. But the question we must ask is, does the Bible show us a way to blessedness that doesn't come through things that can be here today and gone tomorrow? And the answer, brothers and sisters, is a resounding yes. You see, true blessedness does not come through worldly living, but through a joy in knowing and obeying the Word of God. You see, this passage tells us, and this may be controversial in some sense, but this passage tells us that the Lord will only truly bless those who find joy in and are obedient to His Word. Let me say that to you again. This passage tells us, Psalm 1 tells us, that the Lord will only truly bless those who find joy in and are obedient to His Word. Now, here on the onset, and I'm going to go back to this later, but I want to just set before you the two questions that I'm hoping to pose to you that you would answer for yourself. Here are the two questions that I'm hoping that you would actually honestly ask about your own life in accordance with this particular passage, all right? So here's question number one in terms of blessedness and the way in which we plan to live in 2022. How have I let the thinking of the world impact my life? Now notice, I didn't say, "Have I?" I said, "How have I let the thinking of the world impact my life?" You see, all too often we don't want to admit how much we've allowed the world to influence the way we think and the way we live. But in fact, every one of us has one area of our life, one area of our thinking that has been impacted by the world, by non-biblical thinking. That's question number one that I'm asking you to answer for yourself at some point this week. Here's the second one. Do I expect to have a blessed life while being disobedient to the Word of God? The first one was, how have I let the thinking of the world impact my life? Number two, do I expect to have a blessed life while being disobedient to the Word of God? It's with these questions in our minds, I want to invite you to stand, if you're able, for a reading from the Word of God, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is a reading from the Word of God. You may be seated. You see, what we find right away in this particular passage in verse 1 is that the one who is blessed does not do three things. Now, before we get into these three things that they do not do, we need to first make sure that we're operating with a proper definition of what it means to be blessed. Because blessedness, oftentimes defined by the world, has a direct connection to financial prosperity, maybe health, maybe healthy relationships. But let me suggest to you that blessedness described in this particular passage is actually happiness that God-given security and prosperity produce. You see, the Psalms are full of this teaching on blessedness. Maybe one of the most familiar psalms to you on this particular topic is Psalm chapter 34, verses 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions will suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things. You see, God offers us rich, eternal blessings in him, but we need to see the seriousness of what worldly thinking and living is as it's presented to us. Because what we're going to see in particular in this first verse is a progressiveness of sinfulness. No one starts out as sinful as they could possibly be. They start out with doing one small sin to another small sin to another small sin until those sins snowball into bigger sins to more and more and more. You see, the same thing is true with worldly thinking and worldly living. I've been thinking about it this way, this progressive nature of what happens when we start buying into worldly ideas about how life should operate. Picture with me this idea, and hopefully this doesn't fall way short of what's being communicated here, but I think for me, in my mind, the way I've been able to picture it is a noose covered in roses. Now, what do I mean by that? The picture that's being painted in this first verse is it's almost as if a person is out for a walk, and on their walk, they happen to see off in the distance what looks like a beautiful rose bush that has grown up out of the ground, and in the process, that rose bush has become intertwined with a noose. And as they get closer to that particular noose, they're amazed by the beauty of the roses, but they recognize that something doesn't seem right. As they get closer, a man calls out to them and says, "Take a look at the beautiful rose bush that I've grown. Do you want to smell the roses?" And that's an axiom of life, right? That we should stop and smell the roses. And so being enamored with the rose bush, we stop to take a sniff. And this person who is smelling the rose bush, maybe it's us, we would even say, we would say to ourselves, well, they can't be harmed in just enjoying this beautiful rose bush. Day after day, we walk by this rose bush that's intertwined with this noose and become more and more fond of the beauty and fragrance of the roses. And eventually, this same man that was there before invites us to wear the roses like a wreath. He says, friend, the beauty of the roses can't be best experienced unless you put the roses on like a wreath. And at first, you feel very uncomfortable putting it on. And maybe the roses even scratch you a little bit because of the thorns. But the beauty of the roses and their fragrance around your neck is so intoxicating that you forget about the pain that it caused. Come back day after day and put your head in that noose over and over just to experience the roses. And we forget all about the danger of what lies underneath. Until one day, we realize that that noose has gotten tighter and tighter and tighter, and you can't get away. You see, brothers and sisters, this is how it is with sinful living and thinking. At first, we might think that there is no danger in what we're doing, only to realize that we're being strangled by the world's thinking and living. You see, the one who desires to be blessed, the one who is blessed, this passage tells us that they do not let the advice of practical atheists direct how they live. The one who is not obedient to the word of God is functioning as if God does not exist. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. The wicked in the Psalms are those who are practical atheists who hate God's commands. If you remember with me from the Gospel of John, Jesus himself in John 14:15 says, one of the ways that we show that we love God is we keep his commands. But this person who does not let the advice of practical atheists direct how they live, it says they walk not in the counsel of the wicked. Now, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the Scriptures, this walk connotates a characteristic behavior, the direction of one's life. What this means is that they do not let the evil advice of worldly thinking to impact and determine how their behavior and their course of their life goes. They are very careful to examine the counsel that they receive so that it does not influence the way in which they live. Because we have to understand, and you've heard us say this several times before, everything is counsel. Everything is counseling you to believe something. That means everything at its core has an intent. And when we buy into worldly thinking and worldly living, we're not just buying into the advice, but the intent of that advice. And if that advice is not meant to bring God glory, then the intent is something totally different. So the one who does not follow in the counsel or walk in the counsel of the wicked is the one first who is blessed. We want to start to form this picture for you. Blessedness in the Lord means that we do not follow or determine the direction of our life based on the counsel of the world. But this should immediately start to conjure some thoughts in your mind. How then does the Christian live in a world where we're constantly bombarded with all kinds of counsel from the world? Television has an agenda and an intent. Radio, podcasts, movies, music, all of it has a counsel and an intent. This is why that one of those first questions is so important, brothers and sisters, to ask, how have I allowed the counsel of the world to impact the way in which I live? Am I suggesting then that all Christians could live or should live on a compound completely separate from the world? And of course, the answer to that is no. We could not follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ if we all just live on a compound. How would the world be evangelized if we all just gathered together and lived behind closed doors? But we must be very careful, brothers and sisters, to examine the advice that we would receive from the world around us, the counsel from them. He continues on in this verse 1. He says, this one who is blessed does not stand in the way of sinners. Now you're starting to see the progression already. One who walks, then one who stands. This idea of standing means to closely associate with them in sinful behavior. Now first it's receiving the advice, then it's associating with them in behavior. One who desires to be blessed in the Lord will not live the lifestyle of sinners. Now, I don't know about you, but this seems so simple to me that you might already be going, well, duh, Pastor, we know this already. But brothers and sisters, if we desire to have a blessed 2022, we have to recognize we will not be blessed by the Lord if we live like the world. Not only do they not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, there's another progression that's happening here. He says, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. See, they do not identify with the sinful attitudes and plans of the prideful. These scoffers believe that they can make their own plans, they can congregate together in their own assembly, and make plans that are contrary to the plans of God. But brothers and sisters, this cannot be us. We cannot identify with the sinful attitudes and plans of those who want to live contrary to God and His Word. But I would beg you again and ask you to consider, where in your life have you allowed the influence of the world to determine the direction and the decisions that you are making? Is there an area in which you have walked in the counsel of the wicked, stood in the way of sinners, or sat in the seat of scoffers? In verse 2 and 3, the psalmist paints a stark contrast between the blessed and the wicked. Let me just say this to you if it hasn't come through clearly already. As you make plans for next year, know that as a Christian, the greatest thing that you can do next year is to grow in your obedience and knowledge of the Word of God. Listen to verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You see, we've just been told three things that the blessed person doesn't do. Now we're about to be told of two things that the blessed person does do. They love to obey the law of the Lord. Oftentimes when we talk about the law, this seems like an Old Testament idea, but it's not. Romans chapter 7, verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Because in fact, the law of God is a means of grace to us. Because God in his word tells us exactly how to live in such a way that brings him glory. Maybe you can identify with this. Christmas was yesterday, right? And for those of us who have had younger kids, or maybe currently have younger kids, there were times in the past where I have purchased a toy for my child that said these words on the box: some assembly required. And of course, as a man, I believe that I have the capacity to assemble anything. And so I open the box, I dump all the parts out, and then I promptly throw the instructions in the trash can. And I set about to put together this toy for my children. thinking that it will be no problem. And after several hours of trying to put this toy together, bike, whatever it is, for my children, I promptly go dig through the trash to try to find the instructions to put this thing together. Friends, God has given us in His Word instructions on how to live the best life possible. And when we don't take heed according to His Word, it's the same thing as what I did with the gift when I threw the instructions away. When I set about to try to live my life my way, I'm going to have a very difficult time living in a way that is profitable or good. But here's the problem that we're going to run into, that any person is going to run into when they set about to attempt to be obedient to the law of God. You see, the first issue that we're going to run into is that we humans, in our natural state, cannot love the law of God because of our sin nature. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 makes this clear. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But here's the beautiful truth, and this is even what we've been celebrating over these last several days, that Christ did what was needed for us to be able to love and obey the law. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 says, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, but sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for our sin He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, the Scriptures are clear that a person cannot do enough good things, they cannot be obedient to the Word of God on their own without the Spirit of God empowering them to do that. And so let me just pause for a moment. If you're watching from home and you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I don't know if I am a blessed person. I don't think that I have lived a blessed life. One of the first issues might be the sheer fact that you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the truth is, you have not lived a blessed life. You see, this is one of the most dangerous teachings of the world, that a person can live a blessed life without Jesus Christ. And that simply is not true. You might be able to enjoy some of the good gifts that God gives, because God is generous and He causes it to rain and He causes the sun to shine both on the wicked and on the righteous. But to have a truly blessed life, we must first confess that we are sinners and repent of our sin and accept this sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross to make it possible for us to know and be obedient to His law, and thereby live a blessed life. The next thing that we see here in verse 2, not only does the blessed person delight in the law of the Lord, it says, and on His law he meditates day and night. You see, the blessed person makes the Word of God the main focus of their minds. One of the easiest ways to understand what the focus of your mind is, it's to take an account of where your mind goes when you have a few moments to daydream. So I would ask you, where does your mind go when you have a few moments to yourself to stare at the ceiling and daydream? Because where your mind goes, oftentimes, is what you truly love. But let me suggest to you, too, that having your mind focused on something actually takes work to do, that having our minds constantly focused on the Word of God is actually a good gift, but a task that God has given to us to do. That we would strive to make memorizing the Scriptures, knowing the Word of God, and increasing in our knowledge of God a matter of priority to strive to do. This is not something that early on just will naturally, magically happen, but it is something that we need to strive at doing. So far, what we have learned in just these two verses is that the path to blessedness is a resistance against worldly thinking and worldly living after becoming a child of God, a resistance to worldly thinking and worldly living, but then also a love and obedience to the Word of God. And listen to the words that the psalmist writes that paints this beautiful picture of what happens as one is blessed by the Lord. The psalmist uses this idea of the blessed being like flourishing, like a well-nourished tree. Listen to these words. They are like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And this is one of the reasons I love the Psalms, because he uses such vivid imagery to paint this beautiful picture of what it's like to be blessed by the Lord. That the one who is blessed by the Lord will be like this beautiful tree that is by a flowing brook that produces the fruit that it's supposed to produce, and its leaves never wither or fade. This is a theme that happens multiple times, especially in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, in chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, paints the picture of what happens to the wicked versus what happens to the righteous. He uses the same type of analogy with tree or a bush. He says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." But if we're honest with each other, when it comes to the blessing of the Lord, I have a very impatient view of how I would like to be blessed by the Lord. And it is true that sometimes being blessed and first being flourished by the Lord is something that's near to us, that prosperity is near to us. And we see this in the Old Testament also. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 through 13 talks about Solomon asking for wisdom. Because he asked for something to be able to be a blessing to other people, God grants it to him. He grants him his request almost immediately. But oftentimes, the blessing of the Lord, the prosperity of the Lord, is something that has to be waited for. And actually, I would suggest that the greatest blessing of the Lord is something that we will be waiting for until the Lord returns. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 talks about this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Brothers and sisters, this sounds like such an incredible inheritance that it is definitely worth waiting for. But again, just to make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of what blessing and prosperity means. Blessing, prosperity, success in a biblical sense is not always financial prosperity, but it is always salvation that comes to us through the Word of God. You see, what's being communicated, in particular in verse 2, but also in verse 3, is this simple idea. To love the law of the Lord is to love the Lord of the law. That's the point. You see, the blessing of following the Lord is not the gifts that He gives, but the fact that we get Him, that He would love us and we would love Him in this life and in the next. Let me say that phrase again for you again if you didn't catch it. To love the law of the Lord is to love the Lord of the law. The more that we know about the law of the Lord, the more that we know about the Lord Himself. And the more that we know about the Lord Himself, the more we will grow in love with Him continually. Now, there's a problem that the psalmist is going to deal with in these next verses, in verses 4 and 5, and it's maybe a problem that you have felt. Maybe it's a sting that you have felt. Because the wicked oftentimes think they are flourishing, but the Scriptures tell us this isn't so. But we can confess, or I'll just confess to you, there are times where it appears that the wicked are prospering, they're flourishing more than the righteous. Because oftentimes those who are the most wicked seem to have every advantage in this life. They seem to have all the cars and all the money and all the houses and all the health and all the whatever else would go on that list. But let's be reminded, brothers and sisters, there is a life that comes after this life. And all the cars and all the money and all the houses will mean nothing when we're dead. What will matter is how we use them to honor the Lord and serve others. You see, there's this beautiful picture that the psalmist paints for us again in verse 4 and 5. In verse 3, he painted this picture of the righteous being someone who is like this beautiful, strong tree that produces fruit, and its leaves are strong and green. It's by the water. It has everything that it needs. But in verse 4, the psalmist paints the picture of the wicked in a much different light. You see, the wicked are not like this firm tree that the righteous represent, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away. Most of us never have had any experience with wheat. Has anybody ever ground their own wheat? Have you ever done that? No. Okay. That's what I figured. But so here's the way that I've considered it. Do you know what a dandelion is? Okay, when the dandelion first comes up in the ground, though, it makes a beautiful yellow flower. They actually look kind of cool, right? Yeah. And it looks like they're going to stay for a little while. But then they change into that white, puffy ball. And they spring up, they change, and then they blow away, and they're gone. Friends, that's the comparison that the psalmist is making between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous are the ones who are the tree planted by water that lasts season after season after season. And the wicked are like the dandelion that comes up and is gone and blown away by the wind in just a few moments. But there's something else that the psalmist tells us in verse 4. He says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You see, what the psalmist is reminding us of is the same thing that Solomon reminds us of in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 says, God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. You see, every wicked person can believe that they're getting away with the wicked, sinful life that they're living until the moment in which God brings about his judgment. And in that moment, every deed, every thought, every secret thing will be revealed before the Lord. But for the righteous, brothers and sisters, the godly, they're insulated, we're insulated from divine judgment. Psalm 37, verses 28 and 29 remind us of this. It says, for the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare for next year, we need to remember these words. That the Lord will not forsake his saints. No matter what happens in 2022, 2023, 2024, the Lord will not forsake his saints. And although it may appear that the wicked are flourishing, the truth is they are not. And there is a day coming in which they will have to give an account for everything that they have done. And you and I, brothers and sisters, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, will be protected from this judgment. In this final verse of this Psalm chapter 1 in verse 6, the psalmist summarizes the previous verses with a promise. He says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Friends, these words should be an incredible comfort to you and I. The Lord knows the way that you are headed. The Lord knows and is preparing a path for you as his children. He is watching over you right now. He is perfect in knowledge. There's a theological word that explains this. It's called God's omniscience. It means that God knows everything. That means God knows what awaits us in 2022. It means that God is there to help you no matter what comes in this next year, the rest of this day, or the rest of this week. God is there and he knows you perfectly. He makes a promise in this passage. He says, under the Lord's care, the righteous will prosper, but the wicked will ultimately be destroyed. You know what that tells us, brothers and sisters? Let this truth sink into your heart and mind. Even in a sin-cursed world, we are blessed in the Lord. Even in a world that seems to be gripped by a virus, that seems to be gripped by economic difficulty, that seems to be gripped by sin and hate, we, brothers and sisters in the Lord, can still say that we are blessed because this world is not all that we're living for. There is a world beyond this one in which the Lord will reward us for all that we've done in this life. And to have extreme clarity in 2022 is to have the clarity of the psalmist. The clarity of the psalmist is simply, do not follow the ways of the world, but instead, love the law of God and be obedient to it. This is the simplistic message of Psalm chapter 1 to us today, brothers and sisters. And so I would encourage you again to consider the two questions that I posed to you. If we are to live blessed, we cannot be influenced and affected by the thinking of the world. And that doesn't just start with us collectively, it starts with you individually. We individually have to evaluate whether or not we've allowed the world to determine and impact the trajectory of our life. And then collectively, we have to hold each other accountable, rebuke each other, correct each other, reprove each other. When we see worldly thinking and living taking root in our lives. But brothers and sisters, do not forget that no matter what tomorrow holds, that no matter what next year holds, if you know the Lord, if you have the Lord in your heart, if you are following after the Lord, you are blessed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder from your word that even though things may seem difficult, even though things may seem confusing, there is clarity in your word. That we can see this year come to a close and step into next year with confidence, knowing that we're doing the right thing to honor you because we're being obedient to your word. Lord, help us to never see obedience to your word and understanding and learning of your law as something burdensome and difficult, but instead, Lord, help us to delight in it. Help us to find joy in it. Lord, the world is a dark, sin-cursed place. But because of your blessing on our lives, you've given us the opportunity to be light in this dark world. Lord, help us. Help us to live the blessed life that you've called us to by staying away from worldly thinking and clinging to your word. Help us to individually evaluate our lives in terms of your word, but then come alongside each other and help each other to love you more next year than we did even this year, to know your word better next year than we did this year, so that we might all together grow in maturity of the faith as one body, united in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.